back to Virtual African Creative Disturbance. This is Ivantina, the host of the channel, and I have the great pleasure today to be with Maria Musomi, that I met at the Tanzanian Day conference in Dallas.
Hello. Maria. Hello, how are you?
I'm very fine. So, can you please tell us what is this event about and how did you end up coordinating it?
So Tanzania Day started about 2 years ago when the governor, the mayor of Dallas declared April 29th Tanzania Day. And when he gave us that declaration, we said, okay, what are we going to do that day? Should we just celebrate alone or, just say the day comes and go? And we thought that it would be nice to celebrate with this Tanzania Day with Texans and fellow communities, Kenyan community, American community, and Tanzanians. So we decided to have a day or whole weekend just for celebration of Tanzanian culture, American culture, and invite our fellow neighbors to be a part of the event. The event has different activities from businesses, healthcare, cultural events with the festival, music, food. So that's pretty much what we do the whole entire weekend. We just have different segments where we can celebrate the culture of Tanzania. Also part of the event is also acknowledging different individuals who have been friends of Tanzanians or who have done something special in Tanzania, and so that's, we'll give them an award.
So it started as a public initiative. Did you exist before the mayor decided that we May 29 would be the Tanzanian Day? Did you have like a personal association?
Yes, we actually have a Dallas Tanzanian community here that's very active, and it's been in existence for a long time, longer than I've been in Texas, and I've been in Texas for 10 years. And so the Tanzanians here in Dallas have been active throughout the year, but to get the initiative like from the mayor, this is the first time that we've gotten something like that and decided to really do something special.
And this is the second year that you do that?
Yes, this is the second year.
So you started in 2017?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so talking about the diversity of the people that we can meet here, I've noticed that there's a lot of women involved, as in Africa. What is the role of the male in these particular settings? Because most of the people that I've seen understands are women who are making business and, they're very active, as opposed to male who just seems to just be there to assist.
Well, that's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I did notice that. I'm noticing that more women are trying to get out there and doing, and starting businesses. Although we do have a lot of male presence, I think what happens is ladies are a little bit more aggressive nowadays in terms of businesses and cultural events. You would be surprised, some of the ladies who are here actually have other professions. They're maybe nurses or doctors or computer engineering, but they have a passion about their culture, or they have a passion about design, and that's why they're taking that initiative.
Also, you talked about the diversity of the origin of the people who are here. So how did you get in touch with those people? Did you know them beforehand?
So I actually moved here from California about 10 years ago, and my husband is from Kenya. So I really didn't know any Tanzanians around. So I started looking and seeing how can I give back to my community if there's people here. And someone told me, there's a Tanzanian community here. And And so from then, I decided to be a part of the community and see where my talent or my profession can fit in. And so that's pretty much where it started. It was just more of a curiosity, trying to find where my people are. I actually grew up most of my life in the United States. I came here when I was 8 years old. Yes. So there's always that part that wants to connect and see.
So do you feel more like an American or more like a Tanzanian person?
You know, actually, I feel like I'm a mixture.
Yes.
And actually, I feel like I'm very unique. Only because I have a taste of both worlds. When people see me, the first thing they're saying, "You don't look African." And when they hear my name is Maria, they get really confused. They're like, "Well, are you Hispanic or Puerto Rican?" And I'm like, "No, I'm neither. I'm actually Tanzanian." And they're like, shocked. And they're like, "Where is that?" So I think being raised in America and being Tanzanian is an awesome thing. But furthermore, I think being who I am has taught a lot of people that you can't put culture in a box, because if you look at me, I mean, people say, "You're not African." So I said, "What is African supposed to look like?" Yeah, so I think that's a very, how can I say? It's a very, I'm very proud of being African and American, and also being a part of both worlds.
Okay, no, but I asked the question because some of the people will self-identify here more as American people than people from Tanzania.
Well, the reason why I say that is because when I'm with Tanzanians, they're like, "You speak Swahili very well. We see that you're struggling in certain words, but you speak very well." But when I speak English, they don't even know that I'm Tanzanian.
Yes.
They think I am American.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes even my people from Tanzania are shocked that I can, I'm diverse, so that's where, and I think there's a greater generation. I mean, there's a lot of generations of kids who were born here who their parents actually teach them the language and the culture, and they have a true, quote unquote, I don't know what norm is, but true culture of diversity.
Yeah, the diaspora.
Yes, of diaspora.
But as related to the way that people will identify themselves, when I approach you from the first time, I know you as the coordinator of this event, but you have a personal background in healthcare or in medical businesses. Can you please develop on that?
So I'm actually a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and I have a clinic here in Arlington, Texas Advanced Behavioral Health, and I've been practicing for about 6 years.
So you train practitioners?
No, I actually diagnose and prescribe medications for individuals who have mental health issues such as anxiety, bipolar, ADHD, such diseases and stuff.
Okay, and because I'm interested in the African diaspora, so how do you articulate your activity in the state with your interest for your own country? Do you go back to Tanzania sometime to teach medicine?
So currently I don't go back to Tanzania because even just here in the United States, there's a great need in teaching about mental health and suicide to different people of culture. Mental health has always been a stigma, period. And suicide is also a big stigma to talk about in a lot of culture. So one thing that I have done here is I've been part of different talks in the community about mental health and suicide. And one thing that I do is at my church, we have this health fair that we have, and we get a chance to talk to people about mental health and teaching them that mental health truly does exist and there is really a treatment for it. For a lot of cultures, or let me speak for Tanzanian culture, people don't talk about depression. Suicide is taboo. So when somebody has a family member who has had, who committed suicide, they don't want to share that information. Or let's say if somebody has depression or anxiety, they say they suppress those emotions and not really seek help. So one thing that we try to do is educate the community through the churches on how to speak up about suicide, how to speak up about mental health, and teaching people that there is help for that.
Okay.
Yes.
But you said through churches?
Yes.
Not through hospital or through educational institution?
Currently, not through hospitals. We have our own practice. So if I do have a patient who is from Africa or a different country, I do take really a lot of time to understand their culture and how to approach the educational part of mental health.
Okay.
Yeah, because I understand that it can greatly impact their health, because, you know, they may just choose not to take medication because, well, my family doesn't believe that this is real. So this preparing for events, of course, is very challenging and very stressful, but I try to balance and try to work on it throughout the year. My clinic actually does sponsor the event, and what I'm hoping in the future is to incorporate a section just particularly for healthcare and you know, Tanzania, or healthcare and diaspora, just to be able to educate more people and see how we can build the bridge between Texas or United States and also Tanzania.
Okay. Can you just give us a snapshot of the remaining part of the program for the next 2 days?
It's going to be very busy and exciting. We have a gala night tonight.
You mentioned an Olympic, a former Olympic player.
Yes. John Okari is a runner. He was a runner in the Mexico Olympics. He had broken his leg while he was running, and he finished last, and he ran the whole time, and everyone was astonished. Everybody in the stage was leaving. At the end of the race, when he finally finished the finish line, the reporters asked him, why did he keep on running with all that pain? And he could have just stopped. Everybody had already left. And he said that truly, you know, his country did not send him here to win the race. His country had sent him here to actually finish the race. And he has inspired a lot of us to persevere with our goals, whether in healthcare, in, you know, culture, in businesses, that sometimes it's not all about you winning all the time. It's about the process that you go through and the fact that you actually accomplish a goal.
Thank you so much for your time, Maria.
Thank you.